أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. لا حول ولا قوة لي إلا بالله العلي العظيم. إلهي انتقني بالهدى والهمني التقوى. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're gathered here at the Holy Kaaba. Inshallah, tomorrow evening is the journey, is the beginning, is what we have actually come here for. So far, we have looked at what we do in Arafah. In Arafah, we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We acknowledge our sins. We connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We remember Him as He has remembered us throughout our lives. We read the dua of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and we sit in contemplation and reflect on our lives. Reflect on how we will change our life when we go back. Somebody asked me today that we haven't started thinking yet about going back home. It's like something detached at the moment, isn't it? We're over here enjoying this most beautiful place. We don't really want to think about back home. But the matter of the fact is, we have to start thinking about back home from now. Today you're sitting here, tomorrow you'll be sitting on your couch in your living room. Today you're sitting here, you'll be sitting at your desk at work. So we have to start thinking about going back home. On that plane, on those plains of Arafah, write down your resolutions. Write down your thoughts. Because when you write something down, you subconsciously begin to work towards it. When you're on the plane going back home, read what you wrote in Arafah. Write how you felt in Arafah. When you're feeling those things, write them down. So when you're on that plane on the way back home, you read and you say, yes, this is what I wrote down. This is when I made my covenant with my Lord. Read it again and again. This is when I made my covenant, when I renewed my covenant with Allah. On Arafah, we remember our Imam. Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajuhu sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Muhammad. Because he is there. One place we are guaranteed to know that he is there is in the events of Hajj. And he is definitely there on the plains of Arafah, and definitely there in Muzdalifah and the rest of the way. So we are in his presence. He looks upon us. And if we are doing the right thing, he smiles upon us and says, yes, this is my Shia, this. So then we move from Arafah to Mash'ar, as we've already spoken about, where we are told, فَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ عِنْدَ مَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the Mash'ar. وَذْكُرُهُ كَمَا هَدَاكُمْ, and remember Him the way He has guided you. وَإِن كُنْتُم مِّن قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الضَّالِّينَ And before His guidance, you were in erroneous ways. So remember how He guided you. Look at us, look at our lives now. Look at our lives even just 3 years back, 5 years back. Where were we? Were we at the same stage of iman and guidance back then as we are now? Allah has guided us and pulled us, and we have to remember that when we go to Muzdalifah, because Muzdalifah is the land of proximity now. And we pick up those stones, and as we pick them up, we think about, what does this stone represent? These stones represent that vice that I have within me of jealousy, that vice of backbiting, that vice of illicit desire, that vice of extreme out of control temper. And I'm going to remove this and expel this from myself during this Hajj. And we said that dhikrullah outcasts shaitan, repels shaitan. And the next morning the army of Allah moves with the support of Allah and Noor, looking straight, not right, not left, as we said yesterday, to stone the big shaitan, which represents the nafs. And we are at war. We say Allahu Akbar when we throw each stone, because this is in the battle when they would slay an enemy, they would shout Allahu Akbar. And it's not about just how hard you throw it. It isn't shaitan. This pillar isn't shaitan. It's a symbol. So it's how you focus as you throw it. Don't pick up your slippers and start lugging them like people do, as you'll see. It's not what it's about. This whole thing is about sincerity. Everywhere we go, we're told to make the niyyah. And we say, Qurbatan ilallah. So to seek closeness to Allah, sincerely seek closeness to Allah. I'll give you a story. There's this guy who's a woodcutter. He hears, he's a mu'min, like you and me. He hears that in the neighboring village where he lives, some people have taken to worship a tree. So he says, Astaghfirullah. Now because he's a woodcutter, he's got a bit of courage. He's used to chopping down trees, so he says, I'm going to go and chop that tree down, so they can no longer worship it. And maybe if I chop it down, they'll realize. So he picks up his axe, and he starts making his way to the next village, for the sake of Allah. On the way, somebody jumps out from the bush onto the path and says, hey, where are you going? He says, I'm going to the next village. There's a group of people who have taken to worshipping a tree, so I'm going to go and chop that tree down. This cannot be. So, this person says to him, come on man, you don't need to go there and disturb those people. You just stay and do what you have to do and let them do what they have to do. And then he realizes that this is none other than our well-known friend, Iblis. So he says, look, get out of my way. I'm going to that village. You cannot stop me. He says, no. So they get into a fight. They get into a fight. They're on the ground wrestling, giving each other a good punch. And then the woodcutter manages to get on top of Iblis. And he's about to give him one vicious blow in the face. And Iblis says, hold on, wait. He says, what's the problem? He says, look, let me make a deal with you. Why don't you go back home, back to your village, and every morning when you wake up, underneath your pillow, there'll be a gold coin for you. I promise. So he's like, how can I trust you? He says, look, just go, try it. If it's under the pillow, you know I've told the truth. If it's not, then you can just come back and go to the village and chop the tree down. There's nothing to stop you. Says, ah. So he starts thinking, a gold coin every day. That sounds pretty good to me. So he says, okay, I'll take you up on that offer. So he turns around and he goes back home. That night he can't sleep because he's eager to find out if there's going to be something under that pillow. Next morning, he lifts up his pillow and lo and behold, there's a gold coin. He starts to think of the wonders that he can reach if this happens to him every single day of his life, just as Iblis promised him. The next day, he wakes up in the morning, lifts up the pillow, but hey, this time there's nothing. So he's mad now. He says, that liar, goes and gets his axe, puts it on his shoulder and goes towards the next village and says, I'm going to go and chop that tree down. That liar, how dare he deceive me like that? So he's on the path again to the next village. And Iblis jumps out in front of him again. And says, hey, where are you going? He says, you liar, how dare you? And they get into a fight. They're rumbling and tumbling on the floor. And then this time, Iblis pins the woodcutter down. And he starts laughing at him. He says, why are you laughing at me? He says, do you know why? A couple of days back when you were coming and we had a fight, you were able to pin me down. But today I'm able to pin you down. He says, why? He says, because that first day when you came to chop that tree down, it was purely for the sake of Allah. Sincerely, for the sake of Allah. So you could pin me down. But today you're going to chop that tree down because you didn't get something. You didn't get that gold coin. You're angry at me. It's not for Allah. So I am able to pin you down. This is a lesson for all of us. If we do it, this Hajj, Qurbatan ilallah, we just say it, not really having that sincerity to get close to Allah, Iblis can penetrate our defense. But if it's done for the sake of Allah, with sincerity, as we move from place to place, action to action, we will be victorious even over shaitan. So this is what Hajj is about, the ikhlas. Okay. So then we repelled our big shaitan, which is the nafs. Now what do we do? Now's the good part. Now we go for qurbani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam to slaughter his son. You speak to your son, he'll say to you as a father, I'm speaking to fathers first here. Your son, your child, will say, Salam Baba, how are you? I missed you. I love you. And then Allah says to you, I want you to slit his throat for me. Mothers, think about your children. How attached are you to your children? Those of you who are not mothers, you can know when you look in your heart to feel what you would feel for your child. How do you feel for your children? You cannot put it into words, can you? Allah is asking you, like He asked Ibrahim to slaughter that child. So what happens when Ibrahim goes? He's ready to slaughter his child for the sake of Allah, and Allah substitutes it for a ram. And when we do this slaughter, what are we told by our Imam? وَذْبَحْ حَنْجَرَتَيِّ الطَّمَعَ وَالْهَوَىٰ إِنْدَ الذَّبِيحَةِ. That slit and slaughter the throat of your ill desires, your cravings. Slaughter your animal self when you do the dhabiha. Allah substituted the animal for His Ibrahim's son to show us that look, the way you are attached to that child, the way you love that child, you love your animal self. And that's how hard it is for us to slay our animal self. This is qurbani. Qurbani comes from the root qaruba, which means to seek nearness and closeness to Allah. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam says, that this action is about taqwa and closeness to Allah. Allah doesn't say, in the Quran He says clearly rather, He says, لَنْ يَنَالُ اللَّهُ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاءُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Allah doesn't take the flesh and the blood from this act. Rather, He takes the taqwa that emanates from this act. This is a clear sign to you and me that Hajj is not about the outward action. It's about the inward feeling and the inward response to the action. Allah takes the taqwa from that action. All of us, I'm sure, who've been told about Qurbani from our organizers are told it's a very tiring journey. You walk for a few kilometers. You sweat. You may dehydrate. You may get a headache. You may feel weak. You may feel sick on the journey towards the Qurbani. Forget doing the action. Because to slaughter the animal self is no easy task. We have to go through hardship. You know, for example, those who are not able to do it, those who cannot get an niaba, Allah says in the Quran, so they have to. What is the compensation? What is the atonement for not doing it? Is it paying money, the kafara? Thank you, brother. It's fasting 10 days. If you cannot do it, you don't just pay the money and get it done. You have to fast for 10 days. Why? Because you have to feel fasting. What does it do? It dampens down your animalistic desires. It harnesses that beast within you. And because you don't do it, you have to fast for 10 days. 3 in Hajj and 7 outside of Hajj. Not just go and dish out a few dollars or a few pounds and get it done. Because that's easy. We have to feel that animal self go. And by Allah, those who have done it before can vouch for me. When you go with this kind of attitude and frame of mind, you feel that animal self being tamed within you. Now, why do we chop it from the head? Why do we slit the throat? If you take a snake and you chop it into pieces, it'll still bite you. Even harder and even more deadlier than before. The animal self has to be cut from the head, which is the source, which is the control center. It has to be slit from there. We're told that it's mustahab to give 1/3 as a gift of the meat. This is mustahab. I don't know whether we'll be able to do it here because of regulations, etc., etc. However, in Islamic Sharia, we are told 1/3 give as a hadiyah, as a gift. 1/3 give as sadaqah to those who are less fortunate than yourself. And 1/3 you keep for yourself. Why are we told this? Why is it distributed in these fractions? 1/3 here, 1/3 there. Because, my brothers and sisters, that when you kill your animal self, when you tame your animal self, when you master your animal self, 1/3 of the benefit is for you. Which is why you keep 1/3 of the meat. 1/3 of the benefit is for all the other people. Because they are safe now from your animalistic desires. And 1/3, the hadiyah, is for Allah. Because you are doing this in His submission for Him. This is the philosophy of the Qurbani. This is the idea. Now, those of us who will not be able to go, especially for the sisters, while your Qurbani is going on, do not just sit around and not think about this. Because you're going to get a phone call and you're going to be told that it's done. Congratulations. Now you may go and do your taqsir. So you have a mission in the meantime to think about your animalistic self. We have a mission to think about how you're going to tone this down. To think about how. Because you'll become a true human being when this is done. This is when you become a true human being, when your animalistic self is finished. So this is the epic saga of Hajj. It's wonderful. So once we have done the Qurbani, then we go and do the taqsir or the halaq. By the way, brothers, for those of you who are thinking of doing taqsir for no reason other than convenience, somebody came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi and said to him, Ya Rasulullah, he says, I am thinking of doing the taqsir instead of the halaq. The taqsir is just chopping part of your hair off. The halaq is doing the full shebang. So he says, may Allah have mercy. Allahumma arham al-muhalliqeen. May Allah have mercy on those who do halq. So he says, ya Rasulullah, what about taqseer? He says, Allahumma arham al-muhalliqeen. He says, ya Rasulullah, what about taqseer? He says, then Allahumma arham al-muqassirin. This is the difference of halq and taqseer from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what does this mean? What does this mean? We are told by the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam that you are now removing your inward faults and your outward faults. You are now removing all the extra rubbish that you have been doing in your life other than what is required. You are now removing all that is other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you will come out as if the day you were born from your mothers. And my brothers and sisters, you feel it. If we make the right intention and focus, you feel it. The day we came out, we were born. We always look for a clean slate, don't we? We always like to have a clean slate. Allah is giving us an opportunity to have a clean slate. The later parts of the Hajj, now we have to think of what am I going to write on that clean slate now? Now that it's been erased, what am I going to write on it? And then we come back to the pure house. What's the difference? When we came first time and we came the second time, Allah now says to us, come back. Come back, my pure servant. Now you are filled with nur. Come back to me. This is now the tawaf of love. This is now the tawaf of ishq. This is now the tawaf of intense, overwhelming, ecstatic, passionate love with your Creator. We come and we enter through Babu Salam. We are told, why do we are supposed to enter through Babu Salam? Oh, Bab Bani Shayba, there's two riwayat. Because this is the Bab. This is the place. Firstly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi took Imam Ali alayhi salam on his shoulders and went into the Kaaba. And they destroyed the idols. This house is where the idols were destroyed. We are coming here now after destroying our idols. And we enter at the Bab where the biggest idol was destroyed. Hubal was destroyed at that Bab, at that door and that port of entry. And that's where we enter. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Have you seen the one who takes his desire as his Lord? Allah says in the Quran, not us anymore. And we enter to the house where idols were destroyed, having destroyed our false idols, coming to the pure house. And then we revolve around the symbol of Tawheed, connected always with our left shoulder to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not disconnecting for a second, because it invalidates it, because it removes the connection. Our hearts churning out Allah all the time. This is the tawaf of love. Why are we supposed to remain between the maqam and between the Kaaba? Why are we not allowed, if we can help it, to move outside of that boundary, outside of that range? What does Maqam Ibrahim represent? It represents Nubuwa, prophethood, and it represents Imama, Wilaya, which is the ni'mah that Allah has given us. The Kaaba represents Tawheed. So we are not removing ourselves from the boundary of Tawheed, Nubuwa, and Wilaya. Always within those boundaries. This is why we do not move outside of Maqam Ibrahim. Because it is like moving outside of Wilaya. Unless it becomes extremely difficult, you can refer to the books of fiqh for the reasons and conditions for that. The Kaaba is a symbol. The crack is the symbol of Wilaya. Wilaya came from the Kaaba, came from Tawheed. Because Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam was born in the Kaaba and he came out from the Kaaba. So we pray, we do the tawaf of love and return back to Allah. And then we pray the 2 rak'ah salah at the maqam, the salah of the ultimate monotheist Ibrahim, saying, وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, that I turn my face to the creator of the heavens and the earth, the originator, as an upright Muslim, and I am not of the ones who associate others with Allah. And with this salah, I throw the face of shaitan in the dirt. And then we go for sa'i. We've spoken about sa'i. We strive between purity, beginning from purity, because that's where we are now. We are pure. And we begin at safa, which comes from safwa, which means purity. And we strive urgently to reach marwa, which is comes from muruwa, which means the best of virtues and the best of traits and the best of akhlaq. But you'll notice that in hajj, it's very, very slow sometimes, the sa'i. It can get frustrating. Why is it taking so long, man? Because Allah wants you and me to think. He's giving us time to think, to ponder, to reflect on what we're going to write. Because Hawa searched, because Hajra searched for water, which was life. You and I are searching for that life with Allah, to bring our hearts to life now. Because this is what we need to be engaging in as we do the sa'i. And then we come back to do tawaf on nisa, the tawaf to have relationships again, because this is a ni'mah from Allah. A man without a woman is incomplete, and vice versa. So Allah is completing everything now, saying, here, take this ni'mah and bring yourself to completion. And then we go back to Mina, and we stone the three this time. Why three now? Yesterday the big one was who? The nafs. Who are the other two? What do they represent? In the dua of the complainers, the munajat of the complainers in Sahifat al-Sajjadiyah, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam complains about three things. First thing he complains about is this nafs. Oh Allah, I complain to you about this nafs which pulls me towards its desires. And then he complains about something else. He complains about Iblis, Shaitan, who spurs the nafs on and whispers to it. And then he complains about the third thing, and he says, this dunya, which deceives me, which makes me want to go after it, which makes me think it's eternal. So those three represent the dunya, Iblis, Shaitan, and the big and the nafs here. So these are the main three shayateen that we have to deal with. And this is what we have to think about as we go and do it. We're told that the dunya is like marun, it's like a snake. For a child, it is very smooth and attractive to touch, so it'll go and touch it because it feels really nice. But for the man of wisdom, the person of wisdom will stay away because they know what it contains in its belly. This is what we have to think about. An old lady came in a vision to Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and said, he said, who are you? She said, I am the dunya. She was an old lady with makeup. So really, she's very frail and not very pleasant to look at, but she's trying to look good. And he says, how many have you married? She says, kathir. So many. Loads. So then he asked her, فَكُلٌّ تَلَّقَكِ, so did they all divorce you? And she says, لَا بَلْ قَتَلْتُهُمْ, I slaughtered them and I killed them, those who married me, those who attached themselves to me. Then Isa alayhi salam says, woe upon those who are currently your husbands, do they not take lesson from those who have gone before them? This is the dunya. Let us not attach our hearts to it, because tomorrow we'll be leaving it. And then we have to stay the night in Mina. Why do we stay the night in Mina? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُم مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. When you have completed your rituals, your the purifying processes of Hajj, فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ. Remember Allah again, كَذِكْرِكُمْ آبَائِكُمْ أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا. Just the way you would remember your fathers, with pride and love, or even a more intense remembrance than that, Allah says in the Quran. So now we have cleared ourselves, we need to adorn ourselves with beauty. And this is what we're to do in Mina. Mina comes from tamanna, which means hopes, wishes, love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Zain al-Abidin says in his munajat, he says, Oh Allah, anta na'imi wa jannati wa dunyaya wa akhirati ya arhamar rahim. That, Oh Allah, you are my bounties. You are my dunya. You are my akhirah. You are my everything. Oh, most merciful of the merciful. And this is what we realize in Mina. This is what we realize in Mina. And then we leave. We wear our Western clothes. And we're back on the plane home. Hajis. Real Hajis, if we do it like this. Real Hajis. So this is what we should be thinking about as we engage in the actions of Hajj, to emerge that pure product that Allah is sending us through that process. Now I know I've spoken for much longer than I usually speak for today, but it's the last night and I had to get across a few messages. I'll leave you with one last thing, and this is the advice of Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. He tells his companion Unwan al-Basri. He says, Unwan, laysa al-ilm bit-ta'allum bi-kathrati al-ta'allum. That knowledge is not through reading and studying a lot. Real knowledge. Bal huwa nurun yaqdhifuhu Allahu fi qalbi man yasha' an yahdiya. Rather, it is a nur. Real knowledge is a nur which Allah places in the heart of the one whom He desires to place it. Then Unwan asks the Imam, he says, how do I get this nur? What do I need to do? He says, it comes from being a true servant, بِحَقِيقَةِ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ, by being a true servant to Allah. So then obviously what comes next is, how do I be a true servant to Allah? Imam says three things. This is very, very important, my brothers and sisters. Three things. He says, number one, realize that you are not the planner, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the planner. You may plan with the best of precision and immaculate nature, but it doesn't work out. Know that Allah is putting the plan there. If you know this, Imam says, then you will be able to bear anything that comes your way in this world. Anything that you face, you will know it's from Allah and you will be able to take it easily. Number two, he says, know that Allah is the real possessor. Like we heard yesterday from Brother Hasnain, the $100 bill. Allah is the real possessor, not you. If you realize this, Imam says, it'll be easy for you to give in the way of Allah, be it with your wealth, be it with your time, be it with your knowledge. And number three, Imam says, is occupy yourself in that which Allah has commanded you to do, and stay away from that which He has forbidden you to do. And if you do this, Shaitan will not have a chance to penetrate you, because you'll always be doing what Allah has commanded and staying away from what He has forbidden. And then you will reach the real level of taqwa, Imam says, and this is when you are a true servant of Allah. And this is when you become worthy of receiving the nur. Now let's think about it in Hajj. Allah is trying to make us a true servant. Because He will show all of us that, hey, all these plans that we're making, something will happen, the bus will break down, you fall ill and you didn't expect to, you might lose something that you had. He's showing you that you are not the planner, I'm the planner. Again, you may lose something. Something may go away from you. Your health, you don't possess it. Allah possesses it. I'm the possessor, Allah says. You are not the possessor. What are we doing in Hajj? We're following the command of Allah. We're moving from where Allah has commanded us in Arafah to where He has commanded us to be next. We are staying away from the haram. Not only that, the extra 25 things that we're told to stay away from, we're staying away from those. So we are staying away from what is forbidden. So we see the wisdom of Allah. He's trying to make us true servants in the Hajj. He's trying to show us. So don't worry if it doesn't go to plan. Don't worry if something goes wrong. Because if this happens, know that Allah is showing you something. Because He wants us all to be His true servants at the end of this Hajj. So let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the tawfiq to understand the Hajj the way He wants us to understand it. That we move through each of the actions, purifying ourselves and engaging in what He desires us to engage in. And that we go back home as new individuals with new goals and new resolutions to work hard in the way of Allah and refine ourselves and get closer to Him. And thank Him for this opportunity that He has given us to be on this Hajj, inshaAllah. And may we ask Him to bring us closer to the Ahlul Bayt, alayhimu salatu wasalam, especially our Imam who is alive and present with us today, Imam Sahibul Asri wa Zaman, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajul sharif, and may He hasten His reappearance, inshaAllah. And let us pray for each other. I say this every day. In Arafah, if we pray for each other, our du'as will be answered even faster, inshaAllah. This is the last message I leave us all with. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I invite Brother Hassanain now so that we can benefit from his words of wisdom, inshaAllah.